Hands like speakerphone. Polly comes to you.
Can they hear us now?
Becky, can you hear us? Or Robert?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. Yay.
We did it. Success.
Don't ask us how many degrees it took.
You know, I'm gonna help you here.
Sometimes all you have to do is hit it with your shoe.
I have occasionally done that.
We have technology, gotta use it.
All right, so we'll kind of restart. So there's been long-term sampling by a variety of different agencies on Crescent Lake. They, looking at this figure here, you can see routine monitoring throughout the years. You have the number of age zero walleye in this dark blue, number of age one walleye in this light blue. This number per mile is we go around the entire shoreline electrofishing, whether it be Glyph Lake, Mole Lake, or DNR. You can see pretty consistent recruitment of getting age zero and age one, but right around 2018, we haven't got much since that point. So we're kind of seeing a little bit less reproduction and recruitment going on there. And what that then means to the adult population is it also had a pretty consistent and healthy walleye fishery, but we've seen with that failed recruitment in 2022, we actually had the lowest adult population historically across all of our surveys. There was, it's slightly below the 3.03 adults per acre benchmark that's used for a healthy, sustainable walleye fishery, like 2.9. So it's not super low, but with that consistent failed recruitment, that adult population is still probably decreasing. So that's part of the concern there. We're also seeing other changes that are going on within Crescent Lake. So looking at the bass, largemouth bass and smallmouth bass, we did electrofishing surveys specifically focused on them in 2010 and in 2022. In 2010, we were actually unable to get enough largemouth bass to generate a population estimate. So that means there's very little in there. And you can see that catch per hour is less than two. So there's more, very few in there. Jump to 2022, we actually got a population estimate of 7.4. So increased drastically. And you can also see that in the catch per unit, catch per hour of our electrofishing. So you're seeing a big increase in largemouth bass. Smallmouth bass are pretty similar. So that in 2010, there was 1.3 per acre. And then 2022, there's 1.4. So smallmouth bass haven't changed that much. And you can kind of see that as well in the catch per hour. So you're seeing a decrease in the adult population of walleye and an increase in the largemouth bass, as well as you're seeing changes in the bluegills and crappies, so other panfish within the system. So at that same bass survey, they also focused on panfish. So in 2010, you actually didn't capture any black crappies and relatively few bluegills. Whereas you jump forward to 2022, you see an increase in the number of black crappies, as well as a pretty large increase in the bluegills. So you're seeing some fish community changes going on there within that. So as the DNR got that information, we started assessing all of the 2022 survey. We were seeing some of these trends. We wanted to report that out and see if other people were seeing similar trends. So we reached out to Mole Lake, Crescent Lake Association, Crescent Lake District, as well as Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission to see if they were seeing similar trends and get them openly communicating about what's going on and if what the DNR was seeing was aligned with other people were seeing. We actually wanted to see if they would host or be a part of a public meeting. So they were all supportive of having a public meeting. So on June 4th in 2024, we actually hosted a public meeting to discuss the walleye population, as well as general trends that the other members or other users of the lake were seeing. All of those trends kind of aligned with what the DNR was seeing. So at that same meeting, we discussed approach to potentially rehabilitate the walleye population called the Walleye's Lake of Concern. This model has been used on a variety of other lakes. So Clear Lake and Catherine within Oneida County are two of those four lakes that are being used. So we're applying that model, which incorporates a variety of different users groups to get their opinions and ideas on what's going on within the system and how we can address those declines. So we held that meeting on June 4th. It seemed like everyone was supportive of going down that route of a Walleye Lake of Concerns project, and they wanted action. So with that, the DNR started taking some action based off that to rehabilitate the walleye regulations and put forth walleye change in the walleye regulation that is working its way through the Wisconsin Conservation Congress currently. That is the rehabilitation regulation of an 18-inch min with a 22 to 28 protected slot and only a one fish bag. So that's currently working its way through the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. It'll be voted on April 14th. Is that the meeting?
The week of.
The week of April 14th. So if you want to vote on that, you have the right there. And along with that walleye regulation, since we're taking potential harvest away, we want to provide other harvest opportunities. So we're putting a more liberal regulation on the largemouth bass, where it's going from that 18-inch min and one bag to a no minimum length limit to a five bag. So we're taking some potential harvest away, but you're providing another opportunity to harvest. So we're making changes both ways, or I shouldn't say making, we're proposing to make those changes because it's still got to work its way through Wisconsin Conservation Congress and get support that way, not just making those on our own. But that's a process that takes a little bit. And another portion of the Wildlife Lake of Concern project is continuing monitoring. So in 2024, MoLake actually completed a fall electrofishing survey, and they saw a very large cohort of those age ones. We didn't see any age zeros in 2023, but we did stock extended growth fingerlings in 2023. So that large bump of age ones in 2024 are likely from stocking. The whole lake shared that information with the partner group, so myself as well as Lake Association and Lake District. We had conversations on what kind of can be done to protect this in the meantime before the regulation change is gone. One of those actions that was recommended was to encourage catch and release. So the Lake Association helped the DNR as well as Glyphwick and Whole Lake put together this catch and release sign, as well as spread that information out to their users. So Lake Association, Lake District shared that information. This sign was put up on the boat ramp to make everyone aware of this partnership that's going on, as well as this rehabilitation program. So encouraging catch and release of walleye. Along with that, there was more discussions on how can we further protect that big cohort. There is a way to change the regulations from a special regulation. So the current regulation for walleye on Crescent Lake is a special regulation. It's that no minimum length limit, which is not the ceded territory standard. So the state can more quickly change from a special regulation to the ceded to a statewide regulation or ceded territory regulation, which the ceded territory regulation is that 15-inch min with a 20 to 24 protected slot. So as you can see on this figure, you have the 2022 and 2024 survey data, the total number measured, so the number of fish handled and their lengths right there. So with the no minimum length limit, the whole population is exploitable. That doesn't mean you're going to keep fish all the way down to 8 inches, but I mean, if someone wanted to, they could. Whereas under the 15-inch min with a 20 to 24 protected slot, you can only harvest 64, or only 64% of that population is actually harvestable. So you're reducing the number of individuals that potentially could be removed from the population, as well as protecting that upcoming cohort of those age ones that were captured in 2024. Which kind of looking forward, so like I said, we proposed the 18-inch to 20, or the 18-inch minimum with a 22 to 28 protected slot, the rehabilitation regulation that's working its way through the Conservation Congress. That doesn't necessarily mean it'd be put in place. If it doesn't get support there, it won't go into place. So getting this 15-inch ceded territory standard regulation is supported, that would be in place for a year while this regulation works its way through the Conservation Congress. If this isn't supported at the Congress, then that 15-inch min, if it was supported here, would still be in place. Does that make sense?
Let's just go back. So you're saying that the one that would be up for the spring, or the one that's in there now, started with a 14-inch limit, correct?
No, it's the one that's working its way through is an 18-inch min. So this, it would be this one, 18-inch min with a 22.
Okay. Right.
The current reg is a no min with only one over 14 inches.
Right, but then what was the one that looked like it was voting in like the spring hearings?
That's this one right here. That's what's going to be on the spring hearing.
Can we go back one?
Go back to.
So, yeah, so what you're asking, what we're proposing to do is change the regulation temporarily to.
So this is the current regulation.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then this is the proposed one through the conservation commissioners.
Okay.
And what we're proposing to do today is temporarily change it to protect it for the year while we go through the proper process.
Okay, because this wouldn't go into place until 2026.
So this year would be the 15.
Yes.
One year.
Okay.
Yep.
That's why we were getting the three different. When you were sending me stuff, I'm going.
Yeah, it's very confusing for sure, because you have like three different regulations. You have current one, you'll have the one that is being proposed. This one
going into in place into 2026 if supported. And then you have this other regulation, this ceded territory standard,
which would go into place the start of angling year.
For Saturday.
God, for Saturday night.
Thanks, thank you.
And yeah. With that, thank you, as well as Malek, Great Lakes Lake Association, Lake District, and other stakeholders. Happy to take any questions and clear up anything or.
When there's a restriction like that on the licensed fishermen, do the Indian bands that spear the lake, do they also regulate what their bag limit is?
I'm going to punt on that and send that back there, because they're the ones who have a better understanding of that.
Okay, so they can, the biologist can describe how they get or allow the catch. So this year we're allowed to catch what, 322, but we're proposing to only harvest 60. Last year we were allowed to get about the same, right?
Something similar.
319 or something, and we harvested 90 out of that. So we're going to decrease, we're talking about decreasing. We haven't had our fall spearers meeting yet, but that's what we're going to be talking with our spearers about, is to restrict it to 60 walleyes for this year to harvest. Now, you said it's nothing that we're required to do, or under our model code, we don't have to do that. That's just something that we want to do. I mean, that's our, you know, that's one of our lakes that we harvest too. We don't want to clean up. We want to make sure that that there's fish in there and try to find out what's happened, why the recruitment has gone down to nothing. Because it's been a fantastic lake for, I mean, I've been spearing that lake for 40 years, and there's always been a fantastic walleye fishery there, and for the last couple of years there hasn't been any improvement. So like we explained last year, we've been in redoing some lakes in the past, and we've had some success. However, some of that success hasn't been there, and we're still working on it. So Mike could explain to you some of the lakes that we have worked on, where we've had a lot of success, and then there's some lakes that just we're still working on. One lake this year, we put the artificial reefs in as a way to try and rehabilitate the lake and get some natural reproduction back in the lake. So that's what we're going to propose to our fishermen. That is next week. Is it? Our meeting is next week. Well, this is kind of early, but so those are the things that we're going to do.
Yeah, so I guess last year they already voluntarily reduced their harvest before the anglers even started to do that, based off some of the conversations we had with the first walleye concerns meeting. So they reduced their harvest already. So the anglers take a little bit longer to make those sorts of changes due to the regulation process it takes.
Yeah.
What was the recruitment for 24?
For age zero, none. Age one from the stocking was pretty good in terms of, you know, the actual number per acre or number per mile for age one?
21.
21, which is the second highest that it had been the entire history of the lake.
As a result of the stock?
Yes, most likely. We can't say for certain because we didn't take genetic samples to confirm that, but not catching any age zeros in the previous year would likely indicate that it came from stock.
Is there going to be planting this year?
So it got stocked in 2023. So it would be on quotas for 2025.
Would it be the larger?
It would be the extended growth, so the larger ones again, yes. For the quotas, yeah.
So your extended ones are, is that 10 to 10 inch?
6 to 8.
I was 7 to 9, but it's that general frame.
We're all fishermen.
Get it here.
Yes, it depends on the reason.
I just have a follow-up question on spearing. You know, so the females obviously are the most important, you know, as I've never speared before. I mean, I probably can tell the difference, but no, is it okay?
It's pretty easy.
So how do you control that? And I don't really understand what
rules you have to abide by. Is there any way to limit the amount of females you're taking? Those seem to be the
So we can show you our data on females versus males that statewide that we harvest during the spring. And
it's usually 85% male. So there's two things that work in that favor. So one is the behavior of the walleye during spawning time. The males move up and they kind of sit on the spawning grounds and stay there. Females kind of, they'll come up, they'll drop eggs, and then they'll move back off. So the time they're spent in the shallows is less. So just with that, the spears are more likely to encounter males. And the other part of it is regulatory. There's per permit, spears allow one fish of any size and one between 20 and 24 inches. Permits are usually what, 20 to 30?
30 to 30, yeah.
So a lot of times those are your bigger females. So out of the 30 fish, maybe two of them might be, but they don't always take those two, you know, they might, those could also be smaller fish.
So also, I mean, having done this for and knowing that there's mercury in a lot of fish and whatever in bioaccumulates, we don't want to take big fish. So when those big females, so they come to the top, you can hear them flat, and then they release a hormone and that attracts fish. So then they'll draw, when the males come in around and they'll drop down, and then you'll have anywhere from 4 to 12 males that come around. So we pick the males out from the female. Better tasting fish are the small ones. Those are, you know, under 20 inches. Those are the best eating fish. So that's the ones that the only ones that are females that are a mistake that are hard is the ones that are the same size as the males that are in there. So sometimes that happens where that's not what we're targeting. We're targeting the males.
There was an online question asking if there's anything that DNR is going to do to increase harvest of largemouth bass. Something along those lines. There is the work to get that no minimum length limit on the bass. So we are reducing the length limit as well as increasing the bag. So it's becoming a more liberal regulation for the bass. That's working its way, or being going to be proposed at the Wisconsin Conservation Congress spring hearings this year. So that's what the DNR is currently doing for that.
For hopefully for implementation in 2026.
Yes.
What's the speculation on why there's such low recruitment?
There are so many potential things that are impacting that we can't do a specific thing There could be changes in habitat, there could be changes in climate, water temperature, changed fish community. That silver bullet, identifying what that actually is, if you can identify that, you will probably become a hero in a very, very rich in the area.
I've heard this before, Nathan. What are you guys chasing? You know, what are you chasing as the reasons for why it's happening? You gotta have some thoughts. You know, you just can't keep coming up and saying. Well, you can't just keep coming out and say, well, it could be the temperature, it could be the chemistry, it could be the ice out, it could be the ice in, it could be the temperature during the summer, it could be, you know, the bass. Which of those?
I mean, all of those are being pursued to see if those are the actual cause.
What have you found up to this?
Inconclusive that on one lake it'll be this, on another lake it'll be this, on another system it'll be this. They're all different. So getting that specific silver bullet that is impacting it isn't known, and that's why it's so challenging, because one lake responds differently than another lake responds differently than another lake. So getting that overarching, what is the actual cause? It's tough when there's so many different things that could be potentially impacting. And I mean, it could be a combination of things impacting, influencing together that are causing this. So getting that one thing, I personally don't know.
I'm not looking for the one thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of research going on.
I'm trying to understand what you're chasing. It might be two things, it might be three things. It's not going to be one thing. I understand.
The nice thing about our partnership is that we can all focus on something a little bit different. And I'm going to throw Aaron under the bus here. Aaron's the climate change biologist for Glyphwick, and he has, you look a lot of like shoreline development habitat and those anthropogenic effects on the lake. So
I would add those stressors to the mix. I would say shoreline development is a stressor for young fish. And I would say that chemical treatments have also been shown to be stressors for young fish. So, you know, and it's a problem, like what they've been saying, is probably a combination of all those factors, and they're just not making it to page zero, you know, when we sample them in the fall. And so, you know, on each system, it's going to be a little bit different. One system, it might be there's a golf course with rock, and there's, you know, phosphorus going into the system right next to the swamp. Maybe there's folks putting in their docks right on top of spawning grounds at the same time that those eggs are developing and trampling the eggs and developing fry. It's going to be a whole bunch of factors leading to low recruitment or no recruitment.
There's only so many things within our control. So those are the things that Nathan is working on manipulating. That's angler harvest is one of them.
Hopefully that if you increase that adult population back to what it was, maybe then they'll be able to produce enough offspring that they can overcome some of those stressors that might be impacting them, whether it be change in fish community. Also, we might be helping to shift that fish community to something more suitable if more bass are harvested and that kind of stuff. So there's a whole bunch of different moving parts in this that are all being considered as well as evaluated.
And that is the nice thing about the partnership, is we all can kind of focus on the things where we have an expertise on. I want to call it an expertise or knowledge base on. So the partner group allows us to do that. That's one of the really nice things. We get feedback from you as a lake association to know about usage and priorities. Mole Lake can give us an idea about usage, and they can change their harvest strategies. So it really is.
I was also going to say that as biologists, we don't get out there all the time in the spring. You guys are out there all the time using the system. So you might catch on to some of these things, seeing the change in the bass community before we do, seeing the change in the walleye fishery before. You might be seeing that upward trend where they're improving, where we haven't been out there in a while, so we don't get that. So this partnership that brings all these groups together and has this open line of communication is really important to keep everyone on the same page, as well as transparent of what's going on, and potentially be able to react more quickly to subtle changes.
In those partnerships that we all have when it comes to just this lake, they are really important. And the knowledge that each and every one of us brings to the table needs to be heard. And we should be, you know, expressing that a little bit. The concerns are great, but we see a lot of things out there. And let's just go through the years. I mean, we've had really good water years, but we lived through how many years of drought? And being out on those lakes in the spring of the year, when you see that a lot of the spawning habitat is nothing but dry land, you know, no water on there, nowhere for the fish to actually spawn where they traditionally were spawning. I mean, we lived through that for how many years? 5 years we had that drought going on. So we had lake levels going on for a number of years. And again, they're coming down again. So we have to be concerned with that. But at night, you know, it's not illegal to be out on the water at night and looking at the shoreline. And I suggest that everybody take a night, you know, nice calm night, take a light, go around your lake and see exactly what's out there. Because we see how landowners are taking care of the lake, how some areas are all raked out and nice sand blankets put down and, you know, the rocks are changed around. And like you say, the docks are out there. Just a lot of different things, but there's still things going into the water that are, I mean, we can still hear people flushing their toilets and you can still see water moving out there. There's some leaching from the septic system in some of the body of the water as well. The other part is we're trying to treat these lakes under one certain regulation, when in all actuality, like you said earlier today, they're all different. Every single one of the systems are different, and you have to understand what that system is that you're dealing with. Crescent Lake, a great lake, but I can tell you from having been there and speared years ago to going there now, we used to always go to the right from the bowling and go out to the point there and have your fish. Now it's like you got to go to the other side of the lake, and other people went to the other side of the lake. Not saying that the fish went there. But this last year, or might have been a year before, we went out there on Crescent Lake to do that same stretch. Way too many weeds, nothing there but bass and crappies. And you might have seen two walleyes along the stretch. Just not the same habitat that they were spawning in before. So those were some of the things. And Wayne and I, we like to go around the lake if we have the time, just to see what the entire lake looks like. So that's the history that we have. And then once we base a lot of our harvest on weather conditions and wind conditions, there's a lot of different things that the other fishermen's going to do. And we want to make sure that we're out there harvesting the fish that, you know, our community needs. More than glad to work with you. More than glad to share time with you. More than glad to take you out fishing and have you observe us. In our activity, because there's nothing wrong with it. All of them. There's nothing illegal. When you said, well, what's it about? I've never been about it.
Yeah. See out there in the lights, they don't follow you one day.
Sure. You can go on a boat.
We'd rather take you up on the next year.
Information and education is what helps everybody.
One of the things that I would encourage anybody who is interested in any lake, I mean, we're fortunate we're out there all the time, we can see, but when you see a lake at night, behind the light, there's so much more that you can see that's going on in that lake. You know, how many fish are there, what size the fish are, where they're at certain times. And if all of you that live on the lake would just actually go out there and get a headlamp, because it's not illegal. You can go around and you can watch all of those fish, where they're at, what size they are, what health they are, you know, how healthy they are or not healthy they are. Who do we talk to? These guys. Because they're not out there all the time. They're asking us for information that will help them solve this problem. So if we all do that together, I mean, I think that we'll get there a little bit sooner. Now, there's some climate change things that we're talking about, and that may be so. But we're also talking about climate adaptation. How can we, moving forward, how can we adapt to those? So those are things that Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission is also dealing with. So you know, there's a lot of things that we're we're concerned about, but we would like for you to also participate with the DNR and give your feedback to them, because they're there working for you, so. That's supposed to be in there.
Another thing, make something to try, we can change our regulations at a drop of the hat. We can do that. We can't make them sometimes what we want, because we need to have a DNR with it, that's something. But we can be more restrictive at a drop of the hat.
And you have to.
And we have it, yeah.
I just have a question about this, not the proposed regulation, but the one you want to put in place starting this May. How is that information disseminated to the public? Is it going to be in the regulations book?
So it's too late to be in the regulations book, but it will be updated online. And then if you check out like the NR code, it'll make, there's an emergent, or there's been a change to this, as well as it'll be posted online. Would there be a public notice that would go out?
No, but we will provide signage.
Oh, okay.
Signage.
Signage and bold line, but.
Okay, we'll provide that.
And then say someone would go to Crescent Lake and want to know what the regulation is and looked up on their phone, it would then be changed online. It's just the paper copy.
You know as well as I do.
I know, they're not going to use a paper. They're not going to use it. Well, I got to take a picture of the big fish at the catch.
We would post that regulation sign right next to the current sign that says consider.
And then using, yeah, where that sign is considered released, that would go right next to that.
Big, so people will like go, whoa.
It'll be the same size, bright yellow.
It'll be a bright yellow.
Bright yellow.
And then we'll utilize the Lake District and Lake Association, like we did with the catch and release thing, to make it aware to those other people that are on the lake. And you guys share it with the people that might be just using the lake. So it's taking advantage of all those different resources that we have.
So I'll give you an example of how the Lake Association helped us rehabilitate Lake Matanga. I mean, one of the primary reasons why the population of walleyes went down in Lake Matanga was the overabundance of bowheads. So the tribe went out and with some help, they electrofished the lake, took as many of the big bowheads out. So it got to a point where really they weren't getting any more, but they have a lot of these little bitty bullheads that were going to be big bullheads. So the Lake Association, they recruited people around the lake to go to get permits to go wade around in the water at night and scoop up bullheads, the little ones. So that was one of the primary reasons why, right? That there was some walleye, it seemed to like rebound relatively quickly. So they're trying to manage and it bounced back pretty well. But it was the cooperation of everybody. It was the Lake Association, people that lived on the lake, the DNR. It was the county fish biologists, it was the tribe, it was perfect. So everybody was working together to do that. You know, that's what we want. I mean, is for everybody to get fish. So I just encourage everybody to do as much as they can.
I like that idea. Let's do it at the big large.
a little bit harder because we've got to go through that regulation change. Once that regulation changes, you can have hook 'em and cook 'em tournaments out there, and those occur on the knock chain.
Yeah.
They're very good to eat. People might shy away from largemouth bass, but I kind of enjoy them.
I'll tell you what, largemouth bass, I never used to eat them in the summertime.
Spring.
I caught them in the winter and in the spring. They're fantastic fish. I never got that out of me.
No, I don't really know.
Well, like it's just like red horse or a lot of the other fish. If it's coming out of cold water, like a northern, that's the best time to eat it is in the winter time in the spring. I won't eat them in the summer either. It's all about that cold water.
Yeah.
And we're actually at our fishing meetings, we're trying to get more and more of our people to fish everything, not just walleyes. And so, and Chris, are out spearing. We spear Northerns, we spear smallmouth, largemouth. This guy spears crappies and little fish also. So, I mean, it's a variety of fish and they're all good to eat.
Just like it takes more skill to catch the small ones, does it take more skill to spear the small ones too?
Yeah, well, we got the smaller spears. But they're like the smaller frog spears in different sizes. So, yeah, it's... These guys load up on their topic.
Good point.
It isn't as hard as you think, but there is a lot more misses.
They kind of sit in the water, you don't get to put your hands. Just got to kind of spear them.
Gotcha.
Do you guys have any other questions? Yeah.
I got a question about what's going on with the muskie.
Stocking.
Stocking this year because of a screw-up that happened last year. I don't know if you know that, what happened with that.
Yeah, so from my understanding, the hatchery wasn't able to produce enough fish.
Right.
So then it ended up that Crescent Lake didn't get stocked with fish.
Right. They thought they had them.
Yeah.
But then they didn't when they did the lake before.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we were on the minus the COVID year when nobody.
Yeah.
Okay. We were on the even amounts. Okay. Then we didn't get fish last year.
Yeah.
Because that changed it to uneven amounts. We were going to get them on the uneven. So when are we? When is it predicted we'll get some? Will we get it this year because we missed it last year when we should have?
No, because it'd be on that same rotation that it's currently on. So it'd be that next year, not
26.
Yeah.
So what, for Crescent Lake, we try to just stock one species every year. So we're not stocking muskie or walleye.
Didn't get it though.
That hasn't been asked in the past. It's always been 154 muskies for the last.
We don't have muskies to make that up this year. It's not like we can say, oh, we'll just put, you know, fish out for fishing this last year. We don't have that kind of production, that kind of finances right now to raise that many additional fish. So it's going to be a.
So I can't presume that because we didn't get them last year, we were the last lake to get them, that we would be first on the list to get 154 this year.
In 2026.
But not this year.
No,
because we missed out on the year we were supposed to get, now we gotta wait 2 years.
It's a miss, yeah.
Yeah.
So I gotta know.
So what happens if we, something goes wrong in 26?
And you wait to 28.
So that is being the point.
That is.
How do you recover from that if you have consistently stocked the
muskies? You know, muskies are long-lived fish, right? So it's not like
trout where they're a couple of years old and they're harvested and a couple years after that and they're all gone. A muskie, you're talking about 6 years to reach low 30s where you're starting to catch them, hook and line. Looking at about 9 to 10 years to reach 40 inches. And in this country, the ones that make like a 50-inch size, it's only going to be females. The males don't get that big. And you're looking at 18-ish years on average to get to that size. So it's not, like, what I'm saying, it's not as critical because you have that longer span. If you miss a gap, yes, there's a gap there. I guess I wouldn't expect to miss two cycles in a row, but if you did, that would be a much stronger argument to say, Nathan, we're short, let's see if we can get on an odd year four or something.
Chad, you did the aging, right? We got a pretty nice span of age out there.
Yeah, we had a wide range of year classes out there. Pretty, yeah, and right about average growth for most of the lakes in the area.
Absolutely. And not that it's going to make you feel better, but you want to help. I know that doesn't make you feel better.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one other question. This is for Mike. Okay. Because we always have problems. Are we going to put chemicals in if the Eurasian milfoil is starting to go crazy somewhere? It's always been a hot issue with the DNR and our association. Okay. Is there a spearing map of Crescent Lake? This is the areas that you spear in so that we know to stay out of there if there is a uranium no boil problem there, we wouldn't even ask to put in chemicals. You have a spearing marking for Crestone Titan.
No, we don't have maps that do that. We pretty much go by.
Yeah, just you know where it is.
But one of the things that the DNR does do is they let us know whenever in our area, they let us know whenever there's a permit that's applied for that will do that, that where they're proposing to treat uranium no boil. And if it's a walleye spearing lake that's in our areas, then we have a say-so. So then what they'll do, if they do decide to do it, they will do it after spearing.
Okay. Is there a way, I've been on that lake since 1965. I watched where you guys spear, so I pretty much know where you're going. And it's been that year almost every year, all the time. But there's nothing, is there any way that we could get something marked for ourselves knowing that shouldn't go in these areas? Because I'm not going to be around on my leg.
Sure.
I think on multiple levels, we need to make those maps. Because we need to, just getting back to the restoration, no one's done a thorough evaluation on them. It's possible there's been a disturbance. So we need to go back. Talk to Spears, go back through this survey maps, identify where the hotspots were, identify them, and then follow up. We want to follow up to just do some habitat work as well.
Right.
So I think that like Wayne was saying, with regards to any treatments that they
should,
I think with the way they've been done, marked up on my DNR as well.
Yeah.
Those treatments are on quite a bit down the line, down the road, time wise, from when spearing occurs.
Oh, yeah, this one's just.
But there's still some concern about larval fish, juvenile fish that are always logically, could be exposed. So it might not even be that spawning grounds. It's great to identify where they're at and do a habitat assessment on this, but also understanding where larval fish go, and then also and monitoring treatments or trying to project where treatments drift, all that kind of stuff come up. Larval fish, not only walleye but perch, which are very important to walleye.
Okay, will you guys do that, Mike? When you get that together, and you get a copy of that? So that we're talking together, but we're also talking with the DNR.
And that's part of this walleye lake's concern is to bring us together and have those conversations.
Correct.
And that's what we did in June. I don't know. We'll see what happens with the relations and talk and see when we'll meet again, maybe after the fall surveys and see how things are going. But those are the things that we want to address in the walleye lake's concern framework. I think it's a good point, but today we're kind of just want to focus on these regulations because this is what we can control today. Like I'm looking for May, and so that's what we're controlling today. But that being said, I don't know. Do we have something on the books? Like we're going to wait until we get some more survey data.
Yeah. I didn't have plans, but that doesn't mean we can't schedule and plan ahead. Thought for because I've been focusing on this one for what's after this, just getting through these regulations and then see where that goes. I mean, we've done a good job communicating with when we can get new information when it becomes available, and like share that with us right away. So keeping those open lines of communication when new information becomes available is what I was assuming it was where we were going to go. And then if we felt necessary that another in-person meeting was needed, we could then form that. But keeping those lines of communication open as new information becomes available.
I'm gonna take a look at what Mike is saying a little bit further. I think we should be identifying those spawning areas. Is there anything we can do to maybe improve that? But at the very least, we should be designating them as critical habitat. And so I think that is
a good step forward, you know, for the, once we develop a plan here, this lake.
Now, for chemical treatments, we know that 2,4-D, and I know that's not being used anymore, but that chemical, that can decrease survival of larval fish anywhere 1% to 100%, depending on water chemistry. And so they've switched to a new chemical, Procellacor, which we know nothing about. So, nothing about how it affects larval fish.
Oh.
Okay, and so, you know, if you're applying these chemicals, you don't know what it could be doing to those fish. And so I caution you if you're considering chemical treatments.
I guess, as this.
I need to jump in on something you said.
I really think this is, as we're going around, these are discussions we have at a later point. Like, today, we're really focused on the regulation and that, and I think that's where we need to stick with that. We can let you respond quickly, but after that, we really need to stick with that, and we can revisit the need for the whole herbicide and those interactions, but we don't have that information right now, so I think just let you respond, and then we'll continue.
But that's not true, Nick. We've got documentation on Crescent Lake, the University of Wisconsin, and the Department of Natural Resources came to us, asked us to do a mineral study, one of the years that we treated. And we did exactly as Madison wanted. And there was no proof that any of the larval fish that was involved in that survey, that testing, were affected.
So I guess.
So if you guys aren't looking at, Scott came and asked me if we would be willing to do this. And we did. And it was done in the at the time of treatment. In a treated area and a non-treated area, separated significantly and blocked by land, and came back in, I don't know if it was September, October, and there was no issue from that report. So that we know about Crescent Lake.
So I guess they're still putting that study together and summarizing those results.
But
I got a different story from Gavin than what you just told me. So the
I got that writing from him.
He has, once they incorporated a bunch of other lakes, the story changes.
I'm concerned about Crescent Lake. I'm not concerned about Squash. Okay. I'm not concerned about Lake Julie or anything. I'm concerned, significantly concerned about Crescent Lake.
Yeah.
You know,
which one did they test?
So we're gonna assume, of
course. I really think we need to revisit this later on. You got your point said, but when the group gets back together, maybe that's something we discuss now, because today we're really focused on that regulation and kind of getting towards our end. As you guys leave, there's a ballot to kind of fill out. Are you supportive of going to that ceded territory standard for a year, knowing that if that rehabilitation regulation does not get approved, it will stay as that ceded territory standard, but if the special regulation gets approved by the Congress, it will go into that ceded territory regulation will only be in place for a year. So there's a ballot there. You can say, so you support that, you don't support that, or you have no opinion on that. And there, for the people online, there's a poll that will be sent up as well, so that the people online can also voice their thoughts on whether or not they support this regulation change or not.
So when Mike presented to the Lake Association and he talked, and I think you just mentioned it a little bit earlier, how important perch are for the walleye. And we know that the perch levels have gone down significantly in Crescent as well. I mean, do you guys stock perch or?
Normally we don't stock perch or raise them. I guess I hadn't thought that the perch were that low on there, and we don't really have the data to support those trends because perch are a little bit tricky. We don't have a very good understanding of how you sample them, when you sample them. We come across them when we're sampling, say, for walleye because they spawn similarly. But to get a good understanding of what's actually going on there, we don't really have a solid idea of how you do that. So we can't look at that trend. So you saying it decreases, that would mean to us that it's probably decreasing, but how we address that, hopefully, as we're making these other changes, you're reducing or increasing the potential harvest on bass, you're making those other changes that maybe they'll come back and be more prevalent to help the walleye within there. So it's, I guess, more just hope that the changes that you're making have an influence, not just on the species that you're making those changes to, but they kind of cascade and improve the wall, the purchase.
Just to jump in, so we do track, at least attempt to track perch in our fall surveys. So when you think about like what is probably important for especially young walleye as far as forage and what they're eating is probably like 2, 3, maybe 4 inch perch. So you can have, those can be abundant, but if your 8, 9, and 10 inch perch aren't there, your anglers might not be catching many, even though there's enough for, of the forage size. So that's kind of a question maybe about which size is missing or if the population has overall gone down.
Getting back to that spotlight surveys, maybe if you guys go out and do those spotlight surveys, you'll see some of those smaller perch or that, then you can report that back to us to inform how we make those. So getting that open lines of communication and multiple avenues of data coming in would be helpful there.
Aaron, did you get a chance to talk about the materials you brought? Just highlight them.
I think I did with most folks around the room, but here, I'll pop up here in the front. So we have Mazenagan. This is the quarterly talking papers from Glickwick. You can subscribe to that if you want to get it in your mailbox. This is a fishery status update for the ceded territories. A few years old now, but
I handed that out at the when I presented to the Lake Road. So okay. That hasn't changed since. So
yeah, we're due to update. Hopefully this year.
Yeah.
2019. There hasn't been any things that are in there are still current in terms of the process of how things are monitored and how the harvest system works. Like it's ready for an update. It's been 6 years.
And then the shoreline living document. This is from the Midwest Glacial Lakes Partnership. It just shows you what a native shoreline could look like if the habitat has already been disturbed. So good to pass around. You can order copies through the website if you're interested in sharing with other folks around the lake. And then this is a brief explanation of treaty rights in ceded territories. So you pick up those. And then, of course, and lastly, we are putting together a climate adaptation plan at Glickwick. And so if you would like to get into that plan by taking the survey, just hold your phone up, take a picture of the QR code, and fill out the information. It's a short survey. It's like 10 days. Max.
So if we don't have any other pressing questions, I'm gonna kind of wrap it up, but we'll stick around and we'll talk among ourselves. We'll leave it open for a little bit for that. If you have specific questions that maybe that we didn't address or you didn't want to ask out loud. Wayne, are you okay staying for a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaving.
I do want to thank everyone for showing up. It was very helpful. So appreciate you guys all coming out. Hopefully you guys found it informative and we can move forward with the direction that we're going. As long as you guys are still on board with the walleye concern approach, keep these open lines of communication. Whenever we have new information, we'll share it out with you guys. So appreciate you guys coming out.
Don't forget to vote on your way out. If you did sign in, make sure you sign in.
Did that really do anything? Or is it
I mean, everyone said no, and then it'll be like,
So that's part of the process. It's not supported.
It's the best time,
it's the camaraderie. Yeah, I don't make so I see.
Months. Yeah.
I have a.
That's about it. Change plans.
Now we have so much. But if there's. Same.
And I just, I'm not just run that run seems coming. No, it kind of seems to be going down.
Rehabilitate their ball seems kind of great. Sometimes that way, sometimes she can get 20 years of health, which is pretty. So, yeah.
You need more.
And then some schools wonder if it's. Knock over a sign. What kind of sign do you have?
So,
I can tell you where to catch a bunch of 8-inch.
I think the life history.
And just the other side is still made.
Anyway, and I said,
People in camera each other out. All of a sudden, you take this very shit.
Get rid of this.
There you go, fish. Secretly, and I said, where's that? He says.
Here.
But they're like, it's.
A lot of people drive.
Center places where they try to get clear. Oh, yeah.
And that's what it is. I'll try to not come there.
Having real. It's your mom. Trying to figure out who's here. All the big boxes.
You don't see like.
Don't HR hands.
But I'm trying to find.
I don't.
Yes.
Using the sheet.
They're only. I need to use the. Even. Most people.
Yeah.
I was asking.
They were shown.
Because there's like.
We have three.
We saw. Yeah. It's like.
I.
Where I are things that.
They have.
Like. I got it. Same as we.
Right now.
All right. We didn't want them to serve. They're good.
And it's. It's hard. I can work that.
That is another.
With. Like that verbal explanation. She can do this. Sue's her parents. Yeah.
What are you about? There's lots of.
I don't. In terms of very. We're.
Once in a while.
That's an obsession.
Yeah.
I'm going on vacation. Thank you. Not for you.
So I guess. I just was. I would.
There's.
I don't want.
That's like. Thing. Yeah, there's a lot. So.
Stop.
So you're. Was.
That's my.
You expect. So we got your data all up. I think probably.
Understand.
Yeah.
Probably was probably.
Plus, it's just like. And if you were ever. You.
You know, I think.
Just go off. You get out with all the green vegetation. Because it had died back. It just. Slowed.
Usually. We're not. I'm not gonna.
There's a lot of young. But. What do you think?
I mean, it's at some point if they.
Yeah.
Where they're.
It seemed like they had to have a.
This type thank you.
We're.
Should have.
So. You're saying. We all and. You know, these guys are.
Yeah. Well, I know that. I know that. Is.
We were.
We're going. We're ready.
Yeah.
Stations to get.
Some that is that emerges.
18 is wearing the house. Exactly.
Yeah.
Point. It's talking about additional.